Let me feast from the Father's supply. One more time. Oh Lord, feed your children as we stand here willing to eat from the table of life. Drink from your fountain that flows from your mountain. Let me feast from the Father's supply. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, once again, we thank you and praise you for the day. We thank you for your mercy, your grace. We thank you for your healing. And Lord, we thank you for revelation of your word. Lord, may you speak to our hearts once again. We thank you for this natural rain here, Lord, that is needed so bad. We see the earth is parched and drying and many things dying, Lord. We thank you. And Lord, we thank you for the spiritual rain day by day. And Lord, just lift us up, Lord, in your presence tonight, Lord. Give us something from the word, from by your spirit, Lord, as we commit all to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You can be seated. We greet you in the name of the Lord. We're happy to be here always, and good to see Bosworth and Bride and everyone. But we haven't seen them in a while, so we're really missing them. And so we're so glad that you're here with us. And we just thank the Lord for every opportunity that we have to come together and to worship him in spirit and in truth. And so we're continuing on in this little thought that we had on the gift. And, of course, we know who the gift is. It's him. But then at the same time, we know that there's many gifts. And so everything that he gives us is a gift. And so he gives us a gift to the age. He gives a gift of healing. He gives the gift of discernment. He gives so many things to us. But the greatest thing is himself. Amen. And so we that's what we want. We don't want to miss that. So we're going to get right into it tonight. And I'm going to start in God's gifts always find their places, in paragraph 36. And he's speaking here of Joseph and Mary when she came to try to explain what happened. And she had not yet got married, and all of a sudden, she's going to have a baby. And so this was never done before. This had never happened before. And how many things in the Bible are like that? When God comes on the scene and God's going to do something, something happens that is so unusual, it's just beyond what the natural mind is. It's, there's just no way. And even though for them, there was the prophet had spoken, and I guess it was hundreds of years from that time. I don't know if it was 400 years or 800 years, what it was, but it was hundreds of years since Isaiah had spoken and said, "Behold, a virgin shall conceive." And so this promise was out there, but it wasn't explained, and nobody knew what it meant. It was just a mysterious thing, because if you just take that literally, there was millions of virgins that were conceiving, but they were conceiving by their husbands, like that. And so it wasn't explained. So it was something, it was still a mystery, and God was going to reveal it. So beginning here, now a dream, if it's interpreted rightly, it is the same as a vision. And that's what Joseph got. He got a dream. And so if it's interpreted, it's the same as a vision. And Brother Branham said, a vision fulfilled. He said, it's the word. He said, it's scripture. He said, it's scripture. So if it's a dream and being interpreted, God's used its sense way back in the Old Testament and down through the ages and promised in the last days to use it again. Yes. And we know that he promised it in Joel 2:28 that he would pour out his spirit upon all flesh, and they would dream dreams and have visions and all of those things. So those were gifts. Those were gifts that God had promised he was going to pour it out. And so he's telling us here that this is what happened with Joseph. But this dream didn't have an interpreter, and this dream didn't need an interpreter. And if there would have been a prophet on the scene at that, Brother Adam said the reason was that there was no prophet to interpret the dream. So God gave him the interpretation, or spoke it literally where he knew what it was. Now, people can overeat and get nightmares, and it's not real, you know, it's not real spiritual dreams. It don't ring up when you read it. But some of it might seem right, but yet there's real spiritual dreams. And we know here at the tabernacle that God gives people dreams and they are interpreted. And they come to pass and they're real, see? But it's a secondary way of doing it. A dream is. It's a secondary way. And now, the reason it was done then, it was because there was no prophet in the land at that time to interpret the dream. See, there was no prophet to interpret the dreams like Joseph and Daniel and those prophets of old. They hadn't had a prophet for 400 years. And God used a dream for the welfare of his own child. He did. And he told Joseph, he was a just man, not willing to make her a public example, he was minded to put her away privately. And no doubt she told him the visit of Gabriel and so forth and what he had said. And when he saw her to be mother, it was just too unusual. This was too unusual, too strange for him to believe this thing. Although he wanted to believe it, and although he knew she was sincere, although he knew that she was honest, he felt like that she was just a good girl and she had a good reputation, but everything around her didn't look good. And what had happened to her didn't look good. And she was there where the soldiers were, and usually where you find where the military is, then there's a lot of loose women, and a lot those kind of things are going on. And so you find that all over the world. And so that's why this place had a bad name. So you know, that's what's the matter today. God does things unusual. And it's so unusual till even just men can't see it. Huh? Just men, good men. Even good men can't see it. That's what isn't that what he said in Recognizing Your Day? He said they're good people. Yes. He said they're good people. He said they're Christian people. They're good people. He said, but they haven't recognized. They haven't recognized the word for their day. Right. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
And this is what's happened here. He's not recognizing the word for his day.
Right.
And what's it going to take? It's going to take a revelation.
Yes, sir.
God's going to have to give him a revelation. The same thing that he had to give us.
Right.
And that's a gift from God.
Yes,
if you have a revelation, then God give you that by his grace. He revealed himself to you. So Joseph couldn't understand it. It was too unusual. He was a good man, nothing wrong with him. He was a good man, a just man, but it was too unusual. And it was so unusual that Joseph was minded to put her away. But right at that critical moment, God sent his angel and appeared to him in a dream and said, "Don't fear to take to thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost." And listen to this. Listen to this. What a newborn faith Joseph must have had when he rose up from there, see? And he never had need of any interpretation. The dream wasn't in symbols. Huh? It would just spoke out plainly.
Yes, sir.
Plainly. Take her.
Yep.
Fear not to take her. That thing that in her, that's the Holy Ghost. That's God. I'm doing this.
Amen.
See? It was right straight out. Don't fear to take Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Praise God. And think. Just think. And I know how it is, and I shouldn't keep bringing up this thought, but somehow there must be some difference, Brother Goomba. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. But I think so many times of how blessed the young people are that are raised in the message. But for those of us that had to come through so much of the world, what he's saying right here really strikes home for us. Because when we came from the world, being in the depths of the world, and being in the depths of denominationalism, being in the depths of the lie, being in the depths of tradition, being in the depths of all of those things, what a newborn faith. What a newborn faith that it was. And so, and I know the same for you, because when you receive revelation, it's something great in you. It's something that it bubbles up, and you know that God did it. And so, but at the same time, you had the privilege of sitting under the Word all of your life, or most of your life, however long you did. And so I always thought, I would have loved to come that way. I would have loved to come that way. I was thinking about it this afternoon. I was sitting there and I thought, and just my whole natural life seemed like it was just not messed up or disoriented or what, I don't know. But from a kid, we just traveled, and we from coast to coast. I don't know how many states I lived in. I don't know how many places I lived in, but I've met people. Some of the places I went to, they were born and raised right there. They lived there, and they're still there now. They never. By the time I got to Florida, on the farm, I met some cousins there, some new cousins, and they were born and raised there, been there, and they're still there. They die there. They're still there. And I've just, my whole life has been just scattered here and there and here and there. But God has every one of us. Whatever, however He brings us, whatever the road, whatever the path, God brings you there because He's shaping you. He's shaping you for the purpose of what He wants in your life.
That's right.
He's got something that He wants to express in you, which it's Him, we know. But He's going to do it. You're going to go places that none of the rest of us are. You're going to do things that none of the rest. You're going to meet people that none of the rest of us. There'll be some overlap, but God is going to use you for whatever His purpose is in your life. Same as He does for every single one of us.
Amen.
Watch where we're going here now. This is a little bit of foreground here just to get to where I want to get to. See? But let me read this again, verse 40, because it is a little bit powerful. What a newborn faith Joseph must have had when he rose up from there. Can you imagine? Now, he didn't tell him, this is what Isaiah said. He didn't tell him, this is that virgin that was promised. He just told him that this is the Holy Ghost that has come on her. And so they know that God is doing something. They have been awakened.
Right.
Is that right? They have been awakened that God is on the scene, and God is going to do something supernatural.
Yes, sir.
And this is sure enough supernatural. Here's a woman that's going to have a baby that doesn't know a man.
Right.
And so far, the only two who know it is her and the man.
Right.
They're the only two. And then it's going to go out from there. And that's how it starts. And you know, that's hard ground to break. But God blessed them and give them some more supernatural for the forerunner, for John the Baptist, so they had some family there they could go and share this great revelation. Now that's that's the thing that really should draw us together, is this revelation. And it just was, I don't know, Brother Gwomba, but just a few years ago, there was just four of us. And when you're only four, you're really glad to see each other. Of course, there's other believers here, and you guys, you were here, but you weren't with us. And you were still at Brother Holmes' church, and some of you hadn't come to America yet and different things. But so when you're like that, you just feel alone, you know.
Right.
And as a matter of fact, this made me think just now, walking down the streets of Nairobi one time, and there was this group from Texas, and they seen me across the street, and they're like this. They're, hey, there's the Mzungu. They had already learned that they were Mzungus. And so they're saying, hey, a Mzungu, where are you from? So it's like, you know, they're in Africa, and there's no, you know, there are very few white people. There's more nowadays than there is back then. There's very few, especially like India was the same way. 40 years ago in India, man, you could go a whole month and never see a white person. I mean, you were just the only one. And so you see how it feels when the blacks here are in a minority. You know, sometimes that's, you know, you see those things and you live those things. And so, but anyways, God is so good. He's so good. And He's give us this fellowship, and He's give us people who believe this revelation. And that is, it's such a blessing. And I'm talking about it here, but that's been around the world.
Yes.
That Brother Grumba can remember that in Kenya. He can remember that in Kenya when the message was just coming up. And I can remember it here. I can remember in this area here when there wasn't a church on every corner. That's right. There wasn't a church. We came from 600 miles away. We came 600 miles away, four states away, to come here. Because God, there was some revelation coming forth. And we wasn't getting it there. And there wasn't many places. And then as the revelation was coming, we were being pushed out and disfellowshipped because of the revelation. God lets us go through those things to see where we're going to stand. Those trials and those tests, they come for a purpose. God is proving His word. He's proving His word in each one of us. See? But He had this newborn faith now, and no doubt He was excited, and no doubt He was nervous, no doubt He was scared, no doubt there was anxiety, no doubt He didn't know how this thing is going to come out, what it's going to be, but He knew that God had just showed Him this thing was of God.
Yes.
And that's how you were when you come to the message. That's how you were when you got your first revelation. When you got your first revelation from God, and you said, I see it. I see it. And you know because not everybody's seen it.
Right.
And you see something and you say, praise God. That's real to me now.
Yes.
That's become real to me.
Yes.
And there's so much, all the mysteries of God in this message and in the Bible, that's what's been happening.
Right.
That's what's been happening for the last 50, 60 years. It's been unfolding and unfolding. It was happening while Brother Branham was here. Since he's been gone, this revelation that he spoke has continued to unfold and unfold and unfold.
Yes, sir.
It's just been revelation. It's just been Christ revealing himself.
Amen.
He's the Word. And the Word has been being revealed to the bride.
Yes, sir.
See? Said it wasn't. It wasn't in symbols. It was just spoke right out in the dream. So let's drop down now. Now here's what we wanted to get to. Verse 41. Now what does it teach us? What does that little story that we've read now, what does that teach us? And don't miss this. See, before we hit our text, here's what it teaches us. That God can use every faculty of our being. Huh?
Right.
That God can use everything that you have. God can take you completely. He can use you if you're not pretty. Huh? Yeah. He can use you if you're not strong. He can use you if you're weak. He can use you if you're not so smart. He can use you with any gift that you have that He's give you, or without any gift that you don't have. God can use you completely and fully how He wants to.
Amen. That's right.
But there's a condition.
Yes, sir.
There's one condition.
Right.
See? If it's committed and surrendered to Him.
Amen.
That's what it takes.
Amen.
We can sit there and Brother Bam said, you could, said a lot of people sympathize with the message. Yeah, I believe that. I think that's right. But they don't never put their life into it. That'll never put their strength into it. They don't put their effort into it. They don't embrace it. And when they get up and move every day, that it's the thing that's guiding them. Because it's at the forefront of their mind. And they're thinking about it. And they're having conversation with God all day long. And they're thinking about this revelation all day long. They're thinking. It don't matter what they're doing. Don't matter who they're talking to. It don't matter if you're listening to politics or you're listening to the news or whatever you're listening to. My wife tells me I listen to the news too much. And I was counseling a sister one time. I'm not going to tell you who it is, but she knows. And she was telling me how her husband just listened to the news too much and he spends too much time doing this and too. And I'm thinking, okay, now what am I going to tell her? I'm just like her husband. I listen to the news too. I listen to the politics. I'm listening to all that. And I'm saying, okay, Lord, give me something to say to her. Because she obviously thinks it's wrong. And so, but we can spend too much time with anything. We'll just leave it right there. But I think men are more apt to do that. They want to know what's going on. And for me, the last, and I'm going to say 10 years, but the last 15, almost 20, has been profound. What Satan has accomplished. It's been profound. I mean, literally, people have gone insane. People, you listen to them, and you listen to some of these podcasts now, and they're starting to get together now, and the two opposites. And these women, they can't. The one of the questions is that really, I forget what they call that, the type of question that is, but they can't tell you. You ask them what a woman is. And they can't tell you what a woman is. They don't want to tell you what a woman is. They know what it is. But they're not going to tell you because then you just, they're locked in. Because they know it don't make sense what they're saying. And so I was listening to a group today and they were talking and one of them was just, she was just insane. And so he pressed her and pressed her and pressed. She wouldn't answer the question. Finally, she said, okay, I'll tell you what a woman is. A woman is anyone who's ever feared a man. And if any of this, the guy told her, said, that's the stupidest thing I ever heard. He just told her flat out. That's the stupidest thing I ever heard. But that's what that's the mentality. They're victimizing themselves. And so now their expression of what a man is has to be make them a victim and make him evil. He's the bad guy. He's the enemy. Yeah. I'm telling you what. You look at the statistics, where marriage is going. Look at the statistics, where the birth rate is going. Look at where these things are going. We're in a deficit. We're in a deficit. And it's because of this stuff. And it's messed up. And there's a lot more to some of this stuff than just what we're seeing on the surface. Yeah, we can read the statistics. Yeah, and we see these crazy people. These insane ones out here on the street saying this junk. But some of this stuff has been promoted at a much higher level. Yes, sir. And a lot of times we don't even realize what's taking place. But the leaders of these countries and these billionaires, these richest men in the world, they're doing things that turn that way. And it's the same on the health issue, and I don't want to get into that. But what they've done to the grains, there's nothing but hybrid corn. Now, you can't even find a real corn. I guess you could find it somewhere out there, but it'd be in a storage building. But and then the wheat, everything's been modified. Everything's been messed with by man. Yes, and it's caused the pharmaceutical companies to get billions and billions of dollars because they're giving you so much medicine. Right. And it just, and let me, I don't, this, I got to get away from that because it ought to be against the law. Brother Branham said the same thing. Yep. He said, that's what the cigarette companies did. That's when it started back there. Right.
That's when it started. That's when they started telling you that eggs was bad for you and that red meat was bad for you and this was bad for you. And then they said, no, eat this cereal. Eat this for breakfast. Eat that for breakfast. Don't eat eggs. They're bad for you. Don't drink milk. Milk's bad for you. Well, let me tell you something. If it's something God put out there, I'm going to feel safer with that.
Yes,
than I am what man has genetically messed with. All right, we're going. That's going back behind us now. All right. So God can and wants to use everything about you, right? That's what He wants to do. That's His purpose for you. He wants to take you over completely. That's God. See? He can use your mind. He can use your dreams. He can use your subconscious. Our first conscience, our tongue, our songs, our eyes, everything that we can be used of God if it's committed to God. See? Everything that you are, committed to God. He'll use every outlet, every part of you, He'll use it. See? No matter what it is. He'll use it if it's sanctified to His purpose and His calling.
Yes, sir.
And now, what He did here for Joseph, because he was fulfilling the word of God in that day. And he had a purpose. And so his son needed to know that this was his wife. And not to get rid of her. That this was not something that Satan had got into. That this literally was God was on the scene. So God had to get the word to his son. Huh? Think. He come and spoke straight to him. That's right. It was in a dream, but he spoke straight to him. Said, don't you fear to take her. Don't fear to take unto thee Mary, thy wife.
Huh? Right.
Because that thing in her that she's conceived is of the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
That's God. That's me. I'm the one doing this.
Amen.
And that's what he's screaming to the bride.
Yes, sir.
That's right.
Yeah.
That seed in her that's being quickened and that's being manifested.
Sure.
That's him. God's gift. Now tonight we're going to speak on gifts. God's gifts always find their places. God's gift is always rejected. But it really finds its place. See? Now we read a little bit of this some time back. But watch the gift that these wise men brought. Now we're going to skip by that. See? Today we find they're swapping gifts and everybody has to get a gift. And here's the gift. This is Christmas. Everybody wants to do all that other garbage.
Right.
Here's the gift. Here's Christmas right here. This is the one.
Yeah.
You want Christmas? Here it is. Here. There's only one gift that you can give. And that is yourself.
Right.
That's it. That's it. You'll never get Christ in Christmas. Okay? Whatever you do, you're never going to get Him in there. Okay? But if you want a Christmas, this is it.
Yes.
And there's a gift. There's only one gift to give, and it's giving it to Him. Not giving it to everybody else. No, it's not that.
Amen.
No, it's giving it to Him. And it's yourself. Praise be to God.
Yes.
Give yourself to God because God's already give you His gift.
Amen.
Praise be to God. Huh? Has He done it?
Yes, sir.
Oh, He sure has. If you're here tonight, you're here by revelation.
Yes, sir.
That's right. You're here by revelation.
Yes,
because God has revealed to you this last day message.
Amen.
And this last day message is God in word form, in spirit form. He's revealing Himself to the body, to the bride.
Amen.
See? 94. This is perseverance. You know, when Jesus preached, there wasn't 1% of the 1 millionth of the people on the earth ever heard Him. Wow, that's a little group, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
Wow. Look what heard John to make preparation. Huh? See? It's the elected that hears it. That's all. That's all. That's right. No man can come to me except my Father draws him first. And all the Father has given me will come. That's right.
Amen.
Now, I believe that there's a church coming into that perfection.
Yes, sir.
That ministry of perfection. Now let's just back up and get the date. 1962, this is before the seals. And he's saying, I believe it's coming. I believe there is a church, there is a bride, there's a body that's coming to this perfection. It's coming to this ministry of perfection. And we know, and well, let's just read it right here. Say, all the Father hath given me will come. That's right. Now, I believe that there's a church coming into that perfection, that ministry of perfection, where the offices, where apostles and prophets and teachers and pastors and evangelists for the perfecting of the church, then pastors, teachers, so forth, will be so with the word until the whole thing will work right up to the coming of the Lord. I believe that. And I believe we're nearing that time now. See, I believe it so. Now, that was really close right there, less than a year from that message. What he's talking about is promised to come. And so in the scripture promise that the fivefold ministry was given for what? The perfecting of the saints. Did it ever do it? Think about that. Did it ever do it? Because perfection came by Christ. And they had a part of the word. It was continually a part, a part, a part, a part, until it came to the fullness, which was Him. Which was Him. He's the one who completed it. He's the one who fulfilled it. He's the one. So this in, I know we've had our talks on all of that and all of that stuff, and it's been fierce. But one thing I think we agree on, okay? The offices are there. There's pastors, right? Those offices are being fulfilled. But that ministry is finished. If you change the covenant, you have changed the ministry.
Absolutely.
That's just the bottom line.
Yes, sir.
If you change the covenant, you change the ministry. Right. And so that's what I'm saying. The ministry has been changed. They're priests. They were priests. They were priests in the Old Testament. Yes. There was pastors in the Old Testament. There was pastors in the New Testament. There's pastors today.
Yes, sir.
It's the same. The offices are the same. You read your old, search it in the Old Testament. There were pastors. That's what they called them. They were called priests. We're called priests. He called us priests. In Revelation, He called us priests. You're kings and priests.
Yes, sir.
I threw that out one time, and a man said, no, we're going to be priests over there. Yeah, we will. But Brother Branham said, you are now.
Right.
You are right now kings and priests.
Yep.
I'm okay with that. All right, let's listen. 3:41, souls that are in prison now. We've read a part of this just recently, and say, Brother, you keep repeating some of this stuff, but there's this one thing we want to get in here. Now, by speaking in tongues, see, not by speaking in tongues, not by dancing in the Spirit, not by joining church, not by the fruit of the Spirit, see, Christian Science can outsmother any of you on that. Wow. And deny even Jesus Christ was divine. See, not that. So it's none of those things. And so I've seen him shout. I've seen him dance. I've seen him do all of those things. And I've even preached in churches. I preached in a church in Nigeria. And I'm telling you what, I'd start reading a quote, Brother Grumba, and they were just screaming, amen, praise the Lord, praise God, praise God. Nobody could hear me. Nobody could hear me. They were screaming so loud. And the brothers that brought me, I preached about 5 minutes. And I don't know if they got two words of what I said. They were screaming. They were just, and you would have thought, if they had heard what I was saying, you would think, we're fixing to rapture. Because these people are fired up and they're loving what the Word of God says. And we're fixing to go away. But they couldn't hear nothing I was saying. And so finally I stopped. And I said, you're going to have to be quiet. I said, I need you to hear what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And I turned, I looked at the brothers that had brought me there. And they said, they told me later that they were followed Coleman. They followed that doctrine. And so He said, you were much easier on them than I would have been. He said, I tell them, shut up and sit down. And I said, well, I didn't know what was going on. But you would have loved it if you'd have known they heard what you were saying, because they were so on fire. But they couldn't hear nothing you're saying. It's not by dancing and it's not by shouting. I've seen them dance all over the place. Scream and shout and happy and bubbly, and that's all wonderful. I'm not against it. I'm happy for it. Is the life there? Do you believe the word? See, but what is it? 342, but it's the word living. Praise God. There it is. If they had to have only looked, he was Messiah. He was the living word made manifest. That's right. And a man that's got the Spirit of God in him, or a woman, lives that word. That's right. Lives that word, lives right out of them. That's right. My wife, I was listening to this thing today, and that's what made me think of that a while ago, and I just started busting out laughing. And so she's wanting to know what I was listening to, and it was what I was telling you a minute ago. And this one guy, his wife also does some podcasts. And so they are fierce. And she's just as fierce or more fierce than him. And they get him on every way. And they ask him, I heard the other day, they asked him, said, what do you think about the women voting? He said, they shouldn't. They should have never been given the right to vote. And the woman said, and he said, if you go back to the tradition, a way of life, where men were the head of the house and the women were in subjection to their husband, so they naturally that riled them up, and they got stirred up, and so they started complaining, and so they asked his wife, well, what do you think about this bigot you're living with? You don't think you should be voting or anything? She said, if you will go back to the early 1900s, and it was, I think, in the 30s and 40s, said there was the two biggest women feminists, and I don't know if it was Susan B. Anthony or the other. There's another woman there. She was an unbeliever. She didn't believe, but there's two of them, and they were very strong feminists. And so they started this voting on how many women wanted to vote. How many women, and that's what they did. They put this out across the nation. How many women want to vote? Between 3 and 4% of the women in the 1930s wanted to vote. How about that? It was a different mindset. It's a different mindset today. It's a different mindset today. Today, I make my own money. I can decide. I can go where I want. I can do what I want, when I want, how I want. I'm this, I'm this, I'm this. But that's not how it was 100 years ago. Right. And then that's not how it was for thousands of years. Right. For thousands of years. There was just a renegade once in a while, like Jezebel. You get a renegade every once in a while. But for all of the years, that was the way it was. And that was accepted. And so this woman, she didn't have a husband, but she had a child. So obviously she couldn't put up with it. So she thought she was going to win some points here. She said, so in your house, who does the housework? He said, my wife does. And he asked the woman. The woman said, I do all of it. And she's like, what? They get him again. He said, that's part of why I married a wife. That's what a wife does. She takes care of you. Mm-hmm. Your wife takes care of you.
Sorry.
I know the devil don't like this. I didn't plan it. I'll tell you that. I didn't plan it, but I was listening to that today, and we're so far over here now, yes, that it sounds bad,
yes,
isn't it? It sounds bad. There's women, I've talked to even women that I work for, 90-year-old women, that would not vote for a president unless he legalized abortion. And I'm like, what do you care? You know, what do you care? Because a woman has a right. She has a right to do whatever she wants to do. And I say, that's okay. I said, but the Word of God says it's wrong. So you get your rights, but the Word of God says it's wrong. There was a time that the man and the woman was equal. Is that right? Do you know that? That right there in Genesis, the man and the woman, they were equal. Right together, 50-50. That's right. And you know what happened? She was the weaker vessel, and Satan exploited it and took advantage of it. And so God said, from now on, your desire will be to your husband. That's the reason why that the happiest marriages on the earth today is when a woman is serving her husband. Is because that is what God put in her. She will find pleasure in taking care of her husband. She will find pleasure cooking for her husband. She will find pleasure in supplying his needs, whatever it is. There's something in her. That's the reason why people complain about polygamy and these different things. And what do you tell them? Look at nature. Nobody has a problem with the chickens and with the horses and the cows. Look at nature. Look at a little girl and a little boy down there, and she's playing with dolls, and he's playing with trucks.
Yep. Yeah, right.
Is it a natural thing? Yeah. Yes. She wants to hold something. And you know what the greatest thrill to that little girl is? Is the first time she gets in the presence of a newborn baby. Right. And she will beg to hold that baby.
Yeah.
She'll beg.
Yeah.
That's right. And you have made her day when you put a newborn baby in her arms and she can hold it. And there's something inside of her that is bubbling up. Because
yes,
God made her like that.
That's right.
And God made a man like that.
Yeah.
And a man that's got the Spirit of God in him, or a woman, lives that word. Lives right out of them. See, that's the heartbeat. The predestinated, for the word of the Lord comes to them. Huh?
Yes, sir.
To a nobody?
Yes, sir.
To a carpenter?
Right.
To a nobody? Joseph was a carpenter. The word of the Lord came to him.
Amen.
Sure did. God was doing something great. God was bringing his son on the scene. And he told his son, this is it. This is the one. That was just as important as anything else God did or was going to do. That's right. This was bringing forth the Son of God. When you are surrendered to God, God can speak to you.
Yes, sir.
That's right. Brother Branham said, we need to be in a position where we can hear Him when He speaks.
Right.
That's why we got to keep some time for God. That's why we need to come together. That's right. We need to come together and be in the presence of the Word, in the presence of the anointing, in the presence of God, and let God be softening us up, God speaking to our hearts, God mellowing us out.
Yes, sir.
When you get out there and you don't have time, then He said you get sticky.
Right.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
So that's why That's why the desert don't have nothing but cactus. Now, I think somewhere Brother Branham said those. He said if it would just rain out there all the time, he said those needles on those cactus, he said they're leaves, and he said they would just start unfolding. He said they've just dried and dried and dried until they're prickly and stickly, and everything gets close to them. Just pokes them. He said that's what happens to people. When they get out of the presence of God, they become like thorns. They become like pricks. And they just prick things and poke and point and hurt.
That's right.
He said they just get enough rain, they just start unfolding and it open up into a leaf. Mm-hmm. Praise be to God. See, the word of the Lord comes to them and they are the word to the people. And they are the word to the people. That's what you are. You are the living word on the earth today. When you're surrendered to God, you are the word. The word comes to you and you are the word to the people. See, that's right. Written epistles. Read of all men. That's right. See, could the third pool be on? Oh yeah, tape people, that's you that's listening in to this tape. I wish you could look at this congregation at this time. I hope you're feeling the same way. Those people were hearing that redemption was over. Those people were hearing that it was finished. And those people were beginning to realize they didn't get it all. It was still coming and coming and coming. And it's still coming to people now. But he was telling them, when those seals opened up, it was done. He took the book. Redemption was revealed. He claimed everything that was his and the rest of it's lost.
Yes, sir.
And he said, and they'll go right on preaching, going to church, thinking that they're getting saved.
That's right. That's right.
And it's over.
Yeah.
See? What if it is? Look at the scriptures piled in here. Could it be? Is the third pull to preach to the eternal doomed that's rejected the message of salvation? Huh? What were those pulls? First pull, healing? Is that a gift? That was a gift, wasn't it? Discernment of the Spirit? That was a gift, wasn't it? Yeah. What was the third one? The opening of the Word. Who's the Word? Him. That's the main gift right there. That's the gift. That's the life. That's Him. Well, you say the church is going on. Yeah, they will. They'll go right on. Just the same. People will continue to play church, be religious, act like they got it. Brother Ben said they act like they got it when they don't got it. And he said they can act and be ever so good at it. Huh? Remember, all this time Noah was in the ark. And the bride is sealed in with Christ. The last member has been redeemed.
Amen.
See? The sixth seal has produced itself. And the seventh seal brings him back to the earth. The Lamb come and took the book out of the right hand of him and sat down and claimed what he owned. Where did he sit down? I want to remind you that as we go through here. Because he left the Father's throne. And Brother Ram said he came and took his throne. Is that right? Where's his throne? In you. That's the throne. This is the throne. This is what he wanted. That was for a period of time. That was the mediatorial work. That was the intercessory work. Waiting for you to get the revelation. And when you got the revelation, then he come and took the throne. And now he's fulfilling that ministry in you. For years when... Let me keep reading. Just remember, all this time, okay, Noah was sealed in, right? That's right. The sixth seal, now see, the last member has been redeemed. The sixth seal has produced itself. The seventh seal brings him back to earth. The Lamb come and took the book out of the right hand of him and sat down, claimed what he owned, what he had redeemed. That's right. It's always been that third pool. That's right. Here it is. Three is perfection. This is what I wanted to get right here. Three is perfection. The ministry. Are you listening? The ministry came to its perfection when it reproduced Christ again in natural amongst human beings, as was predicted, as it was in the days of Lot. Now, what happened in the days of Lot was a revelation. Everybody could read the scripture. Everybody interpreted the scripture as it was in the days of Lot. They were eating, drinking, da, 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 da. But when the revelation came, it was a revelation that God came down in flesh and went down to the elected's house and communed with him and revealed to him what he was fixing to do.
Yes,
Is that right? That was the thing that we didn't read in the Scripture. That's the thing we didn't understand in the Scripture. But when God come down, He revealed that what really happened, the most important thing, that God was in flesh.
Right.
Oh, yeah. The ministry come to its perfection when it reproduced Christ again in natural amongst human beings.
Yes.
Now, how have we interpreted that for years and years? That manifestation, that perfection was manifested in a man by the name of William Branham.
Yes, sir.
Is that right?
Yeah. Nope.
We believe that.
Yeah.
We believe that that man was the first one to receive that token.
Yes, sir.
Or to reveal that token. He was the first one to reveal it because that's what He told us. He said, now I've been waiting. I've been waiting, letting this thing manifest in my life so I could see it.
Right.
I could see that it has taken over me. And that seems like such an understatement because the last 30 years of his life, I'd never seen a man more dedicated, more surrendered, more anything to God than that man.
Yes, sir.
And now he's saying, what I got now.
Right.
He said, I've been waiting for it to fully bloom in me before I brought it to you.
Right.
Before I shared with you what God has done.
Amen.
Is that right? That's what he said in the token message. And then he said, he nailed it. He said, now the token never came until the evening time.
Right.
And he'd already explained what the evening time was. This is the evening time. This is it. This is the time that he come. And so we put it right there. There was the prophet. He was the one. But then what the prophet, what God has been trying to get to us, that prophet's not here now.
Right.
That ministry's still here.
Yes, sir.
And that ministry is in the bride. That's what he's saying.
Amen.
That is the ministry of the bride today.
Yes.
It is Christ walking in flesh. That's right. You can't put it any other way. There's no other place to put it.
Amen.
And if it took him and consumed him 100%, he was surrendered to that, we've got to be the same.
Yes, sir.
We've got to be 100% surrendered to that.
Right.
It's not just a story. It's not just a something we can talk about and say, yeah, you know, that's good. I'm trying. No. Surrender.
Yes.
Die. Die. Three is perfection. And the ministry come to its perfection when it reproduced Christ again in natural amongst human beings. It was predicted as it was in the days of Lot. That's right. It happened in that prophet. And now it's in the bride. It's happening in the bride.
Yes, sir.
People say, they might want to say, I don't see it or I don't know. No, it's there. If I'm not there yet, it's still there. Somebody's there.
Yes, sir.
God has got a body, a bride that it is happening in.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Oh, they think people could go right on preaching, thinking they're getting saved, believing they're doing right, believing their organizations are growing. Sure. Not even a ray of hope. See? That's right. And I'm going to tell you, we got a lot of organizations in this message. As soon as a man, any man, that includes me, any man that takes his idea and interprets this to his own idea, that's an organization.
Yes.
That is a denomination.
Yes, sir.
It don't take 100 people, it takes one.
Right.
It takes one idea. That's what every denomination has done. And that's where they died. Brother Branham said, when Pentecost come, the life of God was moving through the church. The life of God was speaking in tongues. The life of God was prophesying and healing and doing great supernatural things.
Amen.
And then the preachers rose up and said, tongues is the evidence of the Holy Ghost. Praise be to God. Huh? And they were on fire.
Yep.
Boy, if you come and speak in tongues, you got it. We got proof now. Now we know what the proof is. Yeah, that's not the proof. No. Brother Branham said, that's where they died.
That's right.
That's where they, let me say again, that's where Pentecost died.
Yes, sir.
But the life just kept going.
Right. Yes, sir.
Some people were watching the life. Some people were watching the church. Some people were watching the gifts. Some people were watching this, that, or the other.
Right.
But there was a little small group amongst the world, the whole world, around the world.
Yes.
Every kindred and tongue. And I just love saying it. Every kindred, every tongue, every tribe. Huh? Every tribe.
Right.
Every people. Around the world, there's this little tiny group that was catching the revelation. There was a gift that dropped into their life, into their heart.
Yes.
And it was revealing Jesus Christ. And as it was revealing to them who He is today, it began to manifest in them,
right,
in their life.
Yes.
It became a manifestation.
Amen.
See? If the vision was that, it's been so hard against women. We have come to that hour. The door is closed and gone already. The book is in His hand. Think of it now, see? Unveiling of God. And now to the perfect ministry of who?
Himself.
This is Himself. This is Him. That's what we've been waiting on for 2,000 years. And that's what they were looking for 4,000 more before this 2,000 years. They've been looking for Him.
Yes,
of course, He came there, but they missed Him.
Yep.
And now, so they continue looking. And now here He is.
Right.
Now to the perfect ministry of Himself. Not some man, not some denomination, as they've worked down through the age there. See? But Himself made manifest. Manifest Himself to the promise. Making Luke 17, 28, Malachi 4, so forth, Hebrews 13, 8, just exactly right. See? At that time. See? That what time should it be? When the royal seed of Abraham is looking for the promised son. Yeah. How could she be doing it? In this world of chaos, in this world of unbelief, in this world of lies. How could she be looking? Because like that mama eagle screamed down there in the barnyard, there was a shout. There was a shout that came from heaven.
Yep.
And it was a voice that was recognized.
Yes, sir.
That's right. Those chickens could not recognize that scream. They knew nothing about that scream. That eagle could not recognize that cluck.
That's right.
They had been clucking and clucking and clucking. And he's like, he was following them because he didn't know nothing else to do. You know, you can watch somebody, see them doing it, and you hear all that clucking, and you're thinking, it doesn't taste good. They're scratching in the manure pile. They're picking stuff out of that pile, and they're eating that, and it doesn't taste good to me. It doesn't sound right to me. I don't like it.
Right.
They watch the hypocrisy. That's why I had no interest when I was in high school. I had no interest. I didn't see anything but hypocrisy. That's right. I was poor. We had, you know, we was in a small town. We had the rich people, you know, had money. Those people went to church. And those people were saved. And those people, they told you that you didn't go to church and you weren't saved. But those people on Friday and Saturday night down by the river, they were there too with the rest of us. And they were doing the same thing that we were doing. The same sin, the same vices, the same everything. They were doing the same thing. But then they got in their nice trucks and their nice cars and they drove back home Saturday night. And they got up and went to church on Sunday morning. And they were saved as saved could be. And I was lost as lost could be. One day, I was sitting in a little apartment. I was talking to this juvenile delinquent boy. And he told me that this guy was a religious fanatic. And I said, yeah. I said, well, I always wondered about it. I said, but I have no idea. I said, I know there's got to be something. I said, but I don't know what it is. He went and told that man, and that man come and talked to me. and invited me into their home. Just like this, only it was only, the living room was about this big here, just a little tiny, tiny. There was a couch and a chair. That was it. And he began talking about God manifesting himself in a man. And he started talking about the blinded eyes being opened, both naturally and spiritually. He started talking about the dead being raised to life. And something happened inside of me one time. I've done lived now 18 years of my life, saw nothing in no church and nobody and nothing. And I hear this one time, just an hour's worth of God manifesting himself through this veil of flesh. We went to the river. We went straight to the river. And there was my buddies drinking their beer, smoking their dope. They were sitting there where we always sat. And I pulled up and they said, "What are you doing here?" I just said, "What are you doing?" They didn't know. They just thought I was there to join them. They said, "What are you doing?" I said, "Man, I'm getting baptized." And they're like, "Really? You?" And I said, "Yeah." That eagle screamed. And when it did, something quickened on the inside. And you couldn't get away. I can remember a month later, one of my friends came up on a Friday, Saturday night, and he said, "Hey, man, what are you doing tonight?" And I said, "Nothing. I'm not." He said, "You want to go do it?" "No." I said, "No." I said, I'm still waiting to see what's going to happen. I said, "I'm going to try to do this." I had no clue. I said, "I'm going to try to do this." Amen. It wasn't me doing it. Right. There was nothing I could do. It had me. But I told him, I said, "No, I'm not. I'm just waiting. I'm just hanging out. Yeah. I never went back.
Right.
That's right. I had all those plants in the woods. I thought I was going to be a rich man. I had it all planted out there, different forests all over the county. Never went back. Never touched it again.
Amen.
God is going to get his.
Yes, sir.
God will not lose a one. And God himself appeared in the form of a human being to Abraham's natural seed before the destruction. And Jesus said it would be the same thing to this royal seed before the promised son returns.
Right.
Brother, sister, that's exactly what's happened.
Yes, sir.
God came down in flesh.
Amen.
And revealed himself and screamed. And these little eagles that was caught up in all these denominations,
yes, sir,
they begin to cry out, "How do I get to you?
Amen.
How do I get out of here?
Yes.
What do I do?"
That's right. Amen.
And that mama eagle continued to scream and began to say, "You have wings. You have the ability.
Amen.
You have revelation is coming into you."
Yes, sir.
Is that what he said?
Yep.
He said, "Those seven thunder mysteries will give the bride rapturing faith."
Absolutely. Yes, sir.
Yes. She's hearing that revelation. Huh?
Yes.
She's hearing that revelation. And it's quickening and quickening and quickening.
Amen.
That's right. And Brother Branham said, "You're growing in the resurrection. You're growing in the resurrection. That thing is growing in you. A seed don't become a tree overnight. Your maize don't become a maize overnight. No, it's coming. That seed has it's coming up to maturity. And that maturity is what that prophet came to. That's what Jesus Christ came to. That's why he said the ministry came to perfection when it reproduced him.
Right.
Not Don Johnson. Amen. Not Bosworth. Not Bride. Not Amanda. No.
Right.
No. When it produced Christ.
Amen.
When it produced Jesus Christ in flesh.
Yes, sir.
That's the perfection. That's what we want.
That's right.
Praise be to God.
Now, amen.
I'm going to stop right there because this next quote is pretty long. And so We're I hope I didn't say anything to offend you tonight. I especially hope that the word don't offend you. I'm a little, and I don't mean to be strong talking about these things, but the last 100 years, people have changed. And it changed so slowly until people think it's normal. That's right. You look at people, the way they dress now, and we don't think it's bad anymore. You look at the women, the way they expose themselves, you don't think it's bad anymore. Because you see it so much. I've worked, not doing much work now, but I've worked with many homosexuals. I've worked for lesbian couples, built houses for lesbian couples, had people, different type of positions, architects, different things, and they live that lifestyle. And I don't agree with that. I don't approve that. I don't hate them. Right. I don't hate them. I don't fight them. I don't talk about them. I would love to help them. Right. I want them to see Christ in my life. Yes, that's what I want to see. So, but that's out there. But 100 years ago, that wasn't there.
That's right.
When I was young, small, people were scared to walk out and say they were gay. They were scared to say they were lesbian. Yeah. They were scared to do these things. Women didn't act like they did. If a woman got an abortion when I was a kid, they would send her to another town. They would have some family somewhere, hopefully. They got her out of town because it was such a shameful thing.
Yes.
Now they're proud of it. Yep. Now they're literally proud. Right. They fight for it. And it's astounding, the millions, every day. Mm-hmm. Every day. It's astounding. You can't imagine.
Yes, sir.
And then you find out, once again, it goes back to these rich people of what they're doing with those dead fetuses.
Oh, yes. Yep.
Yeah. They're using them.
Yeah.
Check your lotions that you buy in the store. Check these different things. They got, and now I'm told there's some really deep stuff that they're doing. And it's really bad. It's really bad. But they're using those babies and they're making money. And that's why they want it. They need more. They need more. How are you going to get more? You got to keep it legal. You got to keep it legal. You got to make it where they're going to come.
Right.
It's just the devil has pulled it over on the people.
Right.
And he's done his job. Now the bride is going to do her job. And she's going to declare this thing wrong.
Yes,
she's going to stand for righteousness. She's going to stand for the word of God.
Amen.
God is going to have a man that stands for righteousness. God is going to have a man that's ahead of his house. God is going to have a woman that submits herself to her husband. That's right. God's going to have that. Because that's his word. He's going to have it. It might be hard to find, but he's going to have it.
Yes, sir.
There's no two ways about it.
That's right.
God bless you, brother. God bless you. Thank you.
God bless you. God bless you, brother. That reminded me of a man that I remember as his brother was preaching. A man that was machine gunned in, I think, the Second World War. My brother was machine gunned, and I think he had a hip, cut something, because I think he died recently. He's a brother who used to be the brother. I forgot his name. He was limping. He's limping. Well, his side has been limping, but he loved Brother Bram so much. So what happened was he came from the war, and he dug a well.
Yes, I can't remember his name.
And the water was bitter. He used all the money that was given. He dug a well and it was bitter. I forget his name. So now, the brother...
Ben Bryant.
Ben Bryant. Yep. Ben Bryant. Yeah, I think Ben Bryant. So he came, and he was going. He went to a Baptist church, and he's feeling like that's not it. And he's going to this Presbyterian church, and he's going, I don't know why it's not. I don't know what's happening. It's not it. And he goes to another one. He's that's not it. And he went on like that until one time he went, and he felt he was not comfortable anywhere. And then he found Brother Brown preaching. And he thought, this is where I belong. I want it. Just a part time like that. Mm. Just like, well, that's where I belong. And from there, you can see him, how he followed the prophet. And sometimes the prophet would be preaching and he would jump up and roll down and up like that. And when you find it, you surrender yourself to it. You give yourself to all that you are.
Praise
to it. Not lip service, not anything. The fullness of it in you. Give it to him. That's the only way he can use that gift that he's given you. Sometimes we think we don't have gifts because we are... the brother don't have come. Because we are just there, you know, a sister, a brother like that. You don't do nothing. But the prophet said like this. So he put it like this in the book called Total Separation from Man, I believe. He said that each one of you is in God's pocket. That's how he put it.
Praise
each God. One of you is in God's pocket. It's very important. Anything that's not important, you threw it away, right? It's in the trash can. But because you are so important, you're in God's pocket. In God's pocket, you might be a dime. You might be a penny. He uses pennies sometimes.
Yes.
That's why he's in pocket. You're very important. Don't feel like you're not. You're very important. Surrender yourself. Whatever you are, surrender yourself to God. God has a purpose for you. That's why he called you. I remember one time, you know, I have twins. I have twins here. And those twins, my twins, have been together. They were together in the womb. They were together in the house all their lives. They went to another school together, primary school together, high school together, the university, they stayed together, but they stayed at home, and now they're here together. So in high school, you know, that's where you go away. That's where most of people go away because they are far away from home. They don't go to church. And now Arsenal tells me that Bride was her preacher. Fred was bubbling with this. And then and there came a time when you people came to Kenya and there was this kind of, you know, people wondering, where do we really start? Because Gumba is starting with this and everyone is starting with this. We didn't separate. There was a lot of separations.
Yes.
When Brother Dawn and Brother Holmes and Brother Kenan came, there were a lot of separations. Now it left like that. And I don't know whether it's a voice. I'm saying God uses, whether you say it's great or small, whatever, but God is with us. And whatever he can use a dream, whatever he can use it. He communicates. God is not dumb. He's just dumb, but God speaks. And now, in the midst of all that and people are running away, I don't know whether it's a vision, she can tell us, or a dream, I don't know what it was, but he said, he had something. The D is right.
Praise God.
Now, I'm not, it's not me. I like to say, it's not me. It's what I'm studying for.
Yes.
The message of this hour.
That's right.
There are a lot of things that you can call the message.
Yes.
But the D is right. What the D is studying for. This is it. This is the message of the hour. And I say, anything else outside that is, don't surrender to it. It's not it. Don't surrender to it. Run away from it. It's not it. Though it's called a message. It's called a message. Are they preaching the prophet? They're preaching the prophet. Preaching the prophet is not it now. The thing that is so close that can deceive you is this. Is that is called the message of the hour. Now, you know, Don came very well and he said that you people that are brought in this is very good. Now, you people that are brought in this should not be running away when these people that are not brought are running in. Don't do that. You people that have been there, stay in this, live in this, surrender more.
Yes.
You've never even tested that. There's nothing good over there. After there's nothing good. Stay here. Stay in this message. Don't even want to taste it. I advise young people. Do you know how cigarettes were introduced in Kenya by the Britons? They were not selling cigarettes. They were coming with the cigarettes and giving them out for free. For free. You're given, yeah, for free. For free. Everybody's given for free. You know why? Because when you get addicted, you buy.
Yes.
Don't taste it. You know, don't taste it. Drugs, don't taste it. Beer and wine, don't taste it. There's nothing good. When you taste it, you're going to be the wilderness. Don't taste it. There's nothing good in it. You have the right thing. Just take this, surrender yourself, give yourself completely. Not halfway, not 50-50. 100% give yourself to it.
That's right.
And you know what? God will bless you.
Amen.
God will surely bless you. There's nothing as good as walking with God, telling God, and I'm happy. When young people tell me, God told me this, God led me to this, God, yeah, it's a gift. It's a gift. Everybody is a gift to God. You are a gift on God. How are you a gift on God's heart? Because God will use you somehow. God will use you somehow. That's why there's a purpose that He brought here now. There's a purpose that there's some work for you to do. And the only thing that you can do it best is if you surrender completely to Him. Can you sing that stanza, that first stanza and the last stanza? I'm boring you with that song. I surrender. Yeah. I just like it. That's the greatest thing that I know. Surrendering, giving yourself.
Amen.
He can't fail to use you. Why He cannot use you is because you're not giving Himself yourself.
So just the first verse and then the
chorus. The chorus, yes. And that's what. That's
Jesus,
thank you, Lord God, for your goodness and greatness. You love us so much, Father. And sometimes, Lord, it's very hard for somebody to start properly on something that is not clear. But if something gets clear to them, Father, and we understand it, it's this, Father, then one can be able to start with it, Lord. I pray, Father, that the minds were young people. The maids, even some older people, old. The mind of every saint, Lord, may be opened up, Lord, to understand what you are doing in this age, what you are doing in this hour that you are living in. Lord God, that you have come. We talk about it, that you have come, Lord. And I can see some people asking questions, trying to understand it, Lord. But we realize, Father, that there's nobody, Father, who can make somebody understand. Nobody can do it. It's only you, Lord. And you promised that you found your church. You found your body of Christ on that revelation, Lord God, of who you are. And that is who you are in the hour that somebody is living in. Lord, you also said the evidence that one is born again, Lord, is a clear understanding of this, Father. Yes. How can one really start with this, Father, if it's not clearly opened to him, Father? And you said, pray for revelation more than any other thing, Lord. I pray, Father, that you make it so plain to our people. You make it so plain to us, each one, Lord God, that we know this is it. And Lord, it's not something that somebody is persuaded to start with. It's something that is so open, Father, that I know it is this. And this is him. This is him. And now we'll be able to serve you, Father, that way. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. For where, Father, you see our weaknesses there and here, Lord, raise us up, Lord. Hold our hearts, Father, that you can be able to start, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Father, for all things that you've done unto us, Lord. The great revelation, Lord God. The depth of it, Lord. The way you take us, Father, into it, Father. Father, thank you, Father, for everything. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, we pray.
Amen.